If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Chicago, 2011. A cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Hi, this is Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. Have you ever put on a bra that makes you feel like a goddess? Prepare to be obsessed with the Dream Angels Wicked Bra from Victoria's Secret, the iconic brand behind the world's most comfortable bras. And I only wear the most comfortable bras. The bestseller features an innovative sling for perfect lift without padding, and the fit is chef's kiss. Awaken your inner goddess with new colors and super femme lace embroidery. Find out why this bra has thousands of five-star reviews and counting. Shop it in stores and online at victoriassecret.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And today we are back with our Sister Wives coverage, season 20, episode 10, Extending an Olive Branch. So I'm trying to think. There was some Sister Wives news, but now I can't even think what it is. Because did we report on that on our weekly bonus?
Yeah, we reported on something.
I can't even remember. It was Leon. Leon's post. Oh, I'm like, I know we did. I just can't remember who it involved. So we talked about that.
Thank goodness, like somebody came forward and, you know, checked Cody.
Yeah.
In a big way, because he's going around doing all these interviews after Special Forces talking about how he reaches out to all of his kids. And turns out, no, that's a lie.
Yeah. Which makes this episode a little bit like hard to stomach, because you know, it wasn't the beginning of something. It was sort of the Band-Aid, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
something, I don't know.
Exactly. All of this is so insincere. It is just for a storyline. And Cody thinks that we don't hear things from other people. Like, you know, that the whole internet is not talking mm-hmm. about him. And,
but I could say if I never heard anyone except for Cody talk, if I just could watch Cody, I could have told you all this too. Mm-hmm. Like Cody does this to himself. You got on national television and said, I just said those things about my kids to make these people feel okay. Mm-hmm. We've been watching him. Like, even if we didn't hear from Leon, even if we didn't even know any of the backstory, I don't think I'd be sitting here thinking to myself, oh, Cody's a wonderful father.
Oh, no.
I'd be thinking there's a lot of inconsistencies here, and he's a little all over the place. So,
yeah. Well, just look at where he is in his life. I mean, actions speak louder than words, and he's basically, we don't see him talking to anybody else or going to see anyone else or anyone else coming to see him. So, you know, we see what we see.
Yeah, we
just
do.
Just seeing Robin and their kids mm-hmm. in their castle.
Mm-hmm. In their compound. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so if you don't know what we're talking about, Leon made a post because Cody was claiming in all of these special forces interviews that he was reaching out to his kids. And Leon was just like, no, that's not true. I've not heard from him. He's a liar and a joke of a father. So,
yeah. And Cody blew Leon off at Garrison's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they haven't even spoken to Cody since Garrison died.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So should we dive in?
Let's dive into this exciting episode.
It feels like it was like a big setup. This whole episode felt like it was a setup for whatever's going to happen next week or the week after. I could be wrong, but.
Well, yeah, it's the beginning of his apology tour.
Yes. And, oh, God.
But first, we have to watch Janelle.
Ugh.
More Janelle in New Orleans, which I could have done without.
Yeah. I'm like, God, who cares? I mean, it's like they're bugging her about dating constantly. Like every meal, the producers are telling you, okay, ask her about dating. Dating. And well, this was good. I can't remember which one of them asked Janelle about telling her mom she was going to be a polygamist.
I can't remember which friend it was, but you know, then of course we've heard these stories mm-hmm. a million times. We've heard the story about how Cheryl went up there to make sure that Janelle wasn't joining a cult
mm-hmm.
and somehow ended up marrying Wynn. I mean,
Wynn is so charismatic. I
know. I need a little more detail on that. You know, mm-hmm. she's told the story a million times, but I want to hear the details. Like, how did that happen? What happened? Like, how many days did it take to recruit Cheryl?
Yeah. I mean, because if you're going up there to check them out, you're not going to be there for a lot of time. It's just like, so Wynn must have had to work fast.
Like, yeah.
Or it was one of those things where, and I'm sure people have had these moments where you meet someone and there's like an instant attraction, an instant mm-hmm. chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was it. They just saw each other and it was like, it was, you know.
And they got married before Cody and Janelle did. I think Cody and Janelle were still just dating. I don't even think they were engaged.
Yeah, they were still courting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, you know, she talks about the story of Cody turning 50 again, mm-hmm. and how that's when he gave up on the family. Yeah. We've heard all mm-hmm. this. So.
But but she's excited to be, you know, she can do anything she wants now.
Yeah. That is a good, exciting feeling.
Yeah.
When for so many years you have had to work so hard at, you know, raising kids and being part of this family and dealing with Cody and mm-hmm. all the moves and the craziness. And now she can do whatever she wants. That must mm-hmm. be a great feeling for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm happy
so she's
going to
embrace being more spontaneous. And I think this is why this, I really, I don't know if Janelle can stand up to the producers, or I just feel like someone needs to stop the producers and say, listen, you got to stop. Like, Mary wants to meet someone. Christine wanted to meet. Janelle doesn't know. Like, so what? Janelle's life isn't worthy unless some man loves her, unless she's dating or seeking a man. It's a little bit like, why can't Janelle just be? Leave her alone.
They have to stop with it. I mean, they're it's becoming the waiter. They're asking the waiter if he knows anyone. to hook Janelle up with. I mean, this is degrading.
Yes.
Stop. It's,
we've moved to a new place. Like, you don't like it when your random aunt or uncle asks you if you're dating anyone at Thanksgiving, right? No one likes that. No one wants that. So that's essentially what Janelle's having to do for a paycheck.
Yeah.
So I'd
be pissed. She's doing it. She needs that money. She needs Tata Farms needs.
Yes, she does. Tata Farms is not going to build itself.
No.
So, all right. Well, then we have to go over to Mary's house.
She's in her new office.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember when she and Jen were building that desk?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes.
So now she's got her desk set up and she has a little office area.
So they are going to Vegas because Mary found a dating event and registered both of them. For it, or meaning the producers found a dating event and registered both of them,
her and Amber.
Yeah, though I felt when she was talking about how it was Vegas girls events, I was like, oh dear God, what is this? But then they were talking about like a singles mixer for people 40 to 55. I'm like, okay, that makes
sense.
Mary's
54, so she's just right in under the wire. There. She can still go.
I felt like 55 was kind of a weird, like, why wouldn't you do 60 or 40 and up? Are you worried that you're going to get a bunch of like 80-year-olds or something?
I don't know. I guess after 55, if you haven't found someone, then that's just tough luck. But she's still talking to Ron.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And we see in a, they did a, was a mid-season trailer, and they show her actually on a date with Ron, hanging out with Ron. So...
that's exciting.
It's coming up.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too, is we have no idea where we are in the timeline. You know, for us, it's 10 weeks in, but I mean, for Mary, she could have gone to that dating event 2 weeks before she goes to this. So,
true.
And then they get into this whole thing about wet t-shirt versus white t-shirt. And Amber seems to want them to bring white t-shirts.
Well, I think, they're trying to be cute. They don't want to say wet t-shirt because they're not really going to do that. So they're saying white t-shirt. I think they're just trying to be cute. I don't know. If this I don't know if we're going to get to see footage from this, but it sounds terrible. This event, this dating event.
Oh no, we saw a quick for next week. We saw and it looked like. Again, I think it was not very, it wasn't structured, which I think creates a bit of a problem, which is it looked like they went to some golf place. I think all the guys were just playing golf and Mary and her friend are drinking a drink in the corner. It's like, you're not going to get, you know, you need to get an activity where people are forced to talk to each other.
Yeah. So I thought this was interesting. She kind of summed up what it was like being married to Cody. She said it was very dysregulating. You never know where or when or where she was going to see him. And it was like a roller coaster of emotions. And yeah, that would be, and she talked about, she never knew if she was going to get any attention.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it's the attention. I mean, see him is one thing. I think attention is another. And I think that that was the part that is really hurtful for her is I bet you he saw her. But didn't give her any attention.
Well, yeah, but if you're in this big group of, you know, 20-something people and everyone's vying for Cody's attention, you know, you're not going to get it. And they don't show physical affection in front of each other. So, you show up for some event and you see Cody, but he doesn't pay any attention to you. You can't really hug him or kiss him or anything. You know, it's just, that would be very difficult.
Yeah. Well, but I do wonder if maybe he was attentive to Robin in these things. He wouldn't give her physical affection in front of the other women, but was he more attentive
to her? Talking to her, paying attention to her. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not even you know, hey, Mayor.
Yeah, on his way out. Bye, Mayor. Hello and goodbye.
But yeah, that would be really, really hard. And she doesn't want to feel that anymore. And I think that if you sort of look at this, like how what we see with kids who grow up in chaotic households, kids that didn't know what the parents were going to be like, or if there was mm-hmm. food on the table or whatever, right? Those kids have, you know, they're dysregulated for a long time mm-hmm. and it takes a long time to unpack all that and, you know, re-regulate yourself, like really learn how to be calm. And in some ways, you know, it's funny, just Mary's anger. It's like, oh, okay. I think for a long time, it was hard to quite understand why she was so angry until all this stuff started coming out. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. You lived this chaotic life with your partner who was supposed to create calm for you, that was supposed to create this and this mm-hmm. religion and this, the promise of polygamy was supposed to do those things for mm-hmm. you. And you're not getting that. So I can imagine. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense why she's so angry.
Yeah. And you know, going back to when she found those letters, those old letters from Cody, when she was unpacking all of her wedding stuff, mm-hmm. the way that he wrote to her and he even signed it, like
your friend,
this is your husband, not even love, Cody, your friend, your best friend, Cody Brown. So that kind of tells me, I really feel that they had sort of an arranged marriage. Because you know, Cody talks about how much he loved Mary's family mm-hmm. and Cody's family was just getting into polygamy. And so he was trying to please his father and learn about it. And mm-hmm. they sort of took him in. And I think it was like an arranged marriage. And, I mean, he cared about her, but I don't think he was like in love. Like he didn't choose that. It wasn't like madly in love with her.
No.
No. With any of them, honestly. I mean, I know he, when he says, I never loved any of them, I think there's kind of a kernel of truth in there. I mean, I think that he grew to love them and mm-hmm. he cares about them and does love them, but I don't think any of those marriages were really his choice.
Not even Janelle? Because I always feel like he's always got a bit of a soft spot for Janelle.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's going to her first, he's less angry with her.
Right.
You know, some of this stuff. I mean, I do. I've always thought, and there's different theories. When I was on, we were covering an episode like maybe last season when you were out of town on Little Miss Recap, and Amanda was mm-hmm. like, you know, it's because Janelle's easy. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, that's a very good point. You know, yeah. I think that some of it's easy, but I think it's not just, I think it's ease, and I think he has a thing for her. She was the one he kept going back to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't think we can work this out? And then a year later, you don't think we could work this out?
Yeah, you're right.
Even now, and I will see this, hopefully we'll see this next week. I can't wait for her to tell him she wants that spiritual release. That's going to knock him on his ass.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt.
That's going to derail this whole
apology tour. One stop, Raleigh.
And after that, it's like, why bother? Like, what am I doing?
But just to wrap up this scene, Mary talks about, like, I don't want to feel that anymore. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I have a lot more empathy for her understanding, like, oh, you couldn't, you felt so dysregulated that when you were interacting with other people, you couldn't regulate your emotions. Mm-hmm. You couldn't express yourself. Right. You couldn't do that. And again, I am not condoning the stories that we've heard about the way she treated McKelty and some of the other kids. But at the same time, you know, you can kind of see, oh, okay. Again, Christine was getting that treatment too. Mm-hmm. And Christine didn't lash out in that way. But again, it doesn't mean that because Mary was angry, I think that sort of, right, unfortunately, sort of ostracized her.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Because, she was just reacting to feeling mm-hmm. dysregulated.
I mean, listen, Janelle was an avoider. Janelle mm-hmm. leaves, avoider, doesn't care. And Christine is a fantasizer mm-hmm. and a dreamer. And mm-hmm. so each of them, again, I have no idea what this is like. We didn't grow up with organized religion. I have no idea what it would be like if someone told me that my entire life, that this thing is going to make you happy. This thing's going to mm-hmm. be the solution to everything. And then you're in it and realize, oh, I don't like it, or it's yeah. not working for me. And then, you know, usually like a job, you can leave other things. Mm-hmm. You can, I don't like this city. I don't like this job. You go. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, now you have kids. It's like, oh God. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm feeling yeah. Mary. I'm like Mary.
I know.
I enjoy Mary more.
Mary is really redeeming herself. And, yes. you know, she's starting to open up more. And, mm-hmm. You know, she's kind of dropped I think she realizes that this worthy up thing, it's not that simple. It's not that easy. Mm-hmm. That you got to really like do the work, and you got to start with yourself. And she seems to be doing that. Mm-hmm. She's really opening up, and anyway, yeah. Team Mary.
Yeah. Good for Mary. All right. Well, we got to go to Salt Lake City, because we can't forget that Christine's on this show.
I know. They're so desperate for content with Christine.
I know. Well, my notes are just constantly like this city, this city, this city, this city. Do you know what I mean? Like this town, this town. And yeah, I mean, and every time I think about what you would say, which is, how is this going to keep going on? I think this is the last season. How could we keep doing this? But apparently we're doing it. We are doing it. Yeah,
they're barely interacting with each other at all. I mean, we haven't seen, Christine has, I think earlier in the season, she went to North Carolina. But yeah, unless she travels there. And they're not going to come to Utah, those people. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're never together. So anyway.
Anywho.
Yeah. So we have Isabel. It's her responsibility to carry this.
this little segment.
Yeah, this segment. You know, she's talks about how David is a jokester. He doesn't mm-hmm. take things too seriously, which she likes, and he never oversteps. And, you know, she was very afraid of you know, him taking her dad's place. And she says, I have a dad. He's not really prevalent in her life, and they don't talk very often.
Yes.
You know, that's still her dad. And she wants to be clear about that. And it's like, okay. Isabel, you know, she's got a lot of Christine's optimism.
Yeah. I mean, I think Isabel's probably at this place now where she's in this place of, I'm not spending time with my dad. I'm not going to make an effort, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to disparage him. I'm not angry. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to be neutral. But I think what she realized is, oh, David's nothing like Cody.
Right.
David's nothing like my father. He doesn't need attention, and he doesn't mm-hmm. take up the room the way Cody does. And I think he makes her mom really, really happy. Mm-hmm. And I think all of them are happy to see that. And she had says like Christine was sort of two in one, you know, she was like mom and dad, and that's all she needs.
Yeah.
So right now.
Yeah. And truly, she looks so grown up.
Like, I know.
She really, I mean, what is she, like 15 now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she is all grown up. She throws the bowling ball like, just like truly, like, oh, fuck it.
David's trying to give them tips on how to roll the ball. But yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Christine is happy for her kids to see a loving relationship.
Yeah, that was important to her, that they have an example of that.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever go back. I think this might be it for Christine. I think that's it. Yeah, it's just a little segment.
I know. Christine just, she doesn't have, she's drama free.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make for good TV to manufacture these things. Anyway. So, the next scene is, I swear to God, this is the same restaurant
that Robin
and Cody went to, right?
It is.
Like something episodes ago.
Yes, it was something modern. Something modern? I wrote it down somewhere. Because they then flashed on the sign, because that was their contractual obligation
right.
in order to let them film. something, God, I can't remember. It's a modern Italian. It's like Atria.
Yeah, Atria. So
Atria, that's it.
Yeah, so they're back at Atria.
But no flowered shirt, if people are clocking these things. Just a red shirt, very shiny,
mm-hmm.
that has a pattern of flowers. I mean, some sort of pattern underneath, but still red.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to Robin's blouse. I was more looking at Cody's outfit, because Cody, you can tell, he had on a jacket that kind of, it was like a print. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's trying to dress up more.
Yeah, he is.
He's trying to, you know, level up.
But God, he's
focused on him.
Just men with necklaces. Do you know what I mean? There's something about a man in a necklace that's not a cross. I mean, I can understand if you're religious and a cross. I can understand that. But there's something about looking at the necklaces. And it's just Cody. He looks like a cult leader. He looks like, you know, that guy that's going to do a TED talk about, you know, emotions and, you know, and how there's one right way to be and blah, blah, blah. He's got that.
Yeah.
Vibe.
I mean, yeah, especially like, yeah, when we were growing up, I mean, more now, like men do wear more jewelry now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if a man who had a necklace on, he was like hippy dippy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like yeah. You said, I mean, like I don't want to say a blanket statement of all men, but I'm just saying there's some, the necklaces he was wearing, there's something about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Anyway, he has an idea.
Oh, he has something very special. Special. That's the word he used. Special.
Well, last week, his idea was going to therapy.
Yes.
And I don't know what came of that. I don't know if he ever called and made an appointment.
No.
I doubt it.
No.
Now he has another special idea.
Yes.
Because he's traumatized from the experience of selling Coyote Pass.
Yes.
And he feels shame about it because it was so awkward because he had just fucked up the family so badly. And, you know, the awkwardness came from him and Robin. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, hello, you were the people who wouldn't get out of the car, wouldn't make eye contact, wouldn't say hello. You know?
Yeah, essentially, this is your home turf. You
right.
know, there's a little bit of like, who's hosting who here? This
right.
is your home turf. It's not, you know, their responsibility. But the other thing he said was, he said, it made me feel the trauma of Coyote Pass. It made me feel manipulated and unsafe. And I have a bone to pick. I am so effing sick of Cody and Robin using the word safe, unsafe, and they're abusing the word. They're abusing it. They are manipulating us with that word because unsafe, again, manipulated is unsafe. Like you just can just say manipulated, but he's always got to go back to this unsafe thing. It's like, really? Like emotionally, maybe it was difficult for you, but unsafe, like you're kind of, for those people that are really like, it is not safe for me to be with this person in the same room. You're kind of diminishing that.
Right.
You can't just throw it around willy-nilly about everything that happens in your life. You just can't. And then the other thing he said was, I was just trying to make people happy.
And when?
Like, what people? Which people?
What,
Robin?
Who
are you trying to
what?
Make happy?
Yeah.
So that's why then when he was next, he was talking about shame and disappointment. I'm like, you really still don't know what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, you created this, Cody. Mm-hmm. You created it by, your behavior, you dragging out this sale because you didn't. He was using it to punish them.
Yeah.
Because they needed money maybe more than he did. And then as soon as he needed money, then it was time to sell.
Yeah.
He drugged that out. You know, the whole Coyote Pass experience, you know, when he kept like, you know, changing the plans and who's going to be where on what plot and we got to do this. I mean, you created this.
Mm-hmm.
This mess. And then people got sick of it and one by one just started leaving.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No.
Sorry, Cody.
And back to that whole money thing. I mean, I want to lump Robin in with Cody in this.
Mm-hmm.
You two didn't need money.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin was really quote unquote, attached to the property. And it was when the two of you found something that you're like, oh, we really want this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Robin was able to let go of the property.
Right.
It's like, come on, give me a break. Because they, if yeah. they were, so, if those two were so devoted to that property, they could have, for what they spent moving into this new house, they could have bought those two out. I bet you they could have bought those two out and had all the land and built
yeah,
there.
They could have.
So if you were that attached to it, but you're yeah. not, you're attached to the story you've told yourself about.
Right. You're trying to look like you're the martyr yeah. in this group. So yeah. So Cody feels he needs to apologize to the wives who left him. He wants to set them free. He's sick of being angry. It's like, dude, they don't need you to set them free. They are already free.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They broke up with you.
Yes.
They broke up with you. And you so, can't yeah. handle this. And now it's like, I think I'm going to be okay. I'm going to say it's okay that we broke up now. You know, it's like.
Yeah, I'm no longer angry with you for breaking up with me. That's basically mm-hmm. what he's going to go tell them. Apologize. What is there to apologize for? Is he going to apologize for the entire time they were married and how awful he was? No.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go there and he's going to make it about him.
Oh yeah. But I think that he is, I think this is, it's that. And he looked really bad.
Mm-hmm.
He looked really bad for a couple different reasons. He looked really bad when he said that about love. He did this to his kids. Mm-hmm. Like his kids heard that. All the ex-wives heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you talk to the ex-wives are all kind of like, oh no, he loved us. Like, come on. Like they don't believe it.
Right.
But I think this is about Robin. Cause I think that he was acting out so much that I think that Robin maybe said some things to him.
Yeah, I think it made Robin look at him differently.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, someday are you just going to tell me, like, I never loved you? And, you know, if I don't go along with your program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she says that several times in this episode and in other episodes, too, where there were things that Cody did during these last few years that really shocked her
mm-hmm.
and made her question.
Yeah.
If that could happen to her.
Yeah. Because it can, honey. It yeah. can. It very much can.
But I love this. She said she was shocked, but also that he says a lot of things that probably won't happen.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
yeah.
But yeah. one of the things he said when he said, I want to set them free, is he also says, I don't want them talking about me and making things about me. And this is, again, the narcissism and the ego of Janelle talking about, yeah, I'm moving on from my marriage. I was happy, you know, it worked. It didn't work at the end. We're moving on. You know, he's mad at these women because he's like, they keep talking about me. It's like, no, dummy. You're all on a show where you have
right.
to talk about each other.
They have to talk about
that's
you.
That's how this
the
works.
The only thing that, yeah, you are the common denominator in all of this.
But if you've been married to someone for 30 some odd years, you're still going to talk about them because they were a big chunk of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what, you never speak of them again? And
right.
But his ego is so big. And again, I think his ego is so big that he, yes, I think this was a scripted conversation. I think they've had several of these conversations prior to this. I think they were like, okay, we're going to put it out into the world. I think this was right, them reenacting what they've been talking about for mm-hmm. a while now. But I think Cody can't even really say all the words. Like, it's so hard for him to say, I made this mistake, or I realize now I can only control myself. I've got to stop being mad. But he just like slips in these so they can stop talking about me,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they can let it go or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if they don't talk about you, Cody, this show's going to fall apart. So careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Because again, you need that money. Psych Legal Pop. We'll be back after these messages.
This message comes from Jackson. Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax days year round Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit Jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
Chicago, 2011. A cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
But he does admit, because I got angry, I caused other hurtful issues, which I think is something Robin told him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Robin added that to the script.
Yeah.
And then what's this whole thing about like meeting all three of them at once? Like what?
Oh, I thought he said he didn't want to meet.
No. He said something about like, I don't know if the question she asked him was, are you going to meet with them all at once? He's like, oh no. I'm going to, you know, one at a time.
Yeah. Well, so interspersed in here is, have to go back to Janelle. Do you want to finish out this whole conversation they had?
Oh, with Robin and Cody?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Because one of the things he said that, again, this is like his, how to describe it, like his caveat, you know, he says, I don't want to apologize for what I've been accused of, mm-hmm. just what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's like you have a narrative in your mind of I did this, but I didn't do that. But all of your kids and your ex-wives are saying, no, you did do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then what is the point of that's a non-apology apology, you know,
yeah.
because you're basically going to them and saying, I'm not apologizing for what you feel
mm-hmm.
I did. I'm just going to apologize for what I think I did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's meaningless.
Yeah.
Completely meaningless. And then Robin, like we were talking about, said that whole I never loved you thing really shook her. But then she says she knew it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So then why did it shake you? I don't know. These two, they just talk in circles. It's crazy. And then Cody's like, I'm not an asshole, but I have asshole potential.
Mm-hmm.
No, you are an asshole, dude.
Yeah.
And he's concerned about the possibility that his apology could be rejected.
Oh. Oh, no. Well, I just love how he has to make everything so this is a pilgrimage. I'm like, dude,
right,
you're
exactly.
going to three towns and apologizing to women
pilgrimage.
That you need to and not even doing a very good job of it. And then the other one was, you know, I took a knife and I swung it so hard I hurt myself. It's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, where does he come up with these things and practices them?
I think so.
Because it's too much to be just on the spot, like,
yeah.
Thoughts, you know?
Yeah. Well, Robin does say you can be rough. I mean, she does acknowledge that,
yeah.
like, yeah, you can be tough. So I don't know. I believe that Robin, I think it was more not saying that he didn't love the other women. I think what Robin was really reacting to was like, oh crap, this is who you are all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no. Like, I really think it was her sort of going, oh, I guess I only saw you in certain ways or certain, mm-hmm. you know, or like when you're angry, maybe you took that anger out on Mary. I never got it, but now I'm getting
right.
all of it. Like, I
right.
think it's more of that of
That's
like, I'm getting full Cody,
right.
in the full Cody versus the best of Cody, which is I
right.
think what she got before. And I think that was the piece that got her scared. And I would believe that.
Yeah, because if he would just, yeah, he would save his best behavior for Robin
mm-hmm.
and then he'd go vent to Janelle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't really talking to Mary much, it seems like. And maybe even Christine. I mean, yeah. 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 She's getting it all now. She's having to absorb all of his energy mm-hmm. and it's a lot.
Yeah. Hence why she's slowly falling apart. I told you I mean, from the woman that she was when the show started to now, it's like he is sucking the life from you. Mm-hmm. He is just literally sucking the life. And you are so drained. And you're like, I have to be careful about how I react. I mean, just even her confessionals and all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, just so like, just.
Yeah. She says she has to. Basically, if when he comes to her with some kooky idea, she can't overreact or underreact. Yeah. She has to very carefully walk this thin line because mm-hmm. she doesn't know because she doesn't want to like encourage him
mm-hmm.
if it's a bad idea, and she doesn't want to discourage him if it's a good idea. So, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of mental energy.
Yeah. It is. So,
yeah, I'm feeling a little bit sorry for Robin, but not too much.
I mean, you made your bed. I mean, I don't know. I just kind of feel like, okay, you could leave if you wanted, but you don't want to, so.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the end of their conversation at the restaurant, right?
Yeah.
But then we have to go back to New Orleans again.
Yeah. And Janelle, she gives us a little bit of tea where she says, you know, the conflict with Mary happened immediately.
Yeah.
Within a week or two.
Uh-huh.
And she was talking about how, you know, she thought that this was going to be a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
she thought they would all be friends.
Yeah. She really believed. And that's why I think it's taken her the longest, you know, to get the spiritual release or, you know, whatever, because she really full tilt believed in all this.
Well, and also don't forget,
it's gonna be great.
Janelle chose this for herself while she was as an adult.
An adult, yeah.
Nobody else in this situation chose this.
Yeah.
And even Cody didn't even get to, you know, it was it's like she was the only one that really made this conscious choice to do it. So and I'm sure they sold her a bill of goods. You guys are all going to be best friends. It's going to be wonderful. It's one big sisterhood.
Her mom just did it. So.
Yeah, but I don't think things weren't smooth sailing with when mom married. Do you know what I mean? We've heard that from Grandma Janelle. No, wait. Who's Grandma Janelle?
She's the first wife.
Yeah. Because she wasn't happy. Mom. She said it was hard.
Yeah.
When Janelle's mom showed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Because wasn't there one in between those two? There's like.
Yeah, that we don't see. But I think that I just remember Janelle saying that, and again, it's always the new thing, the new shiny thing. But I think mm-hmm. that Cheryl was a nurse and she and Wynn could have these intellectual conversations or they would. Mm-hmm. And Janelle was just left out.
Mm, yeah.
So,
and she talks about how conservative, you know, her upbringing mm-hmm. was and all of that. But now she's letting loose. She's
out
on Bourbon Street.
She's throwing beads. She's got a boa.
It's like they tried so hard to make this scene. Yeah, they've got them up on the balcony and, you know, they've got people they wrangled mm-hmm. you know, to like
paid them 50 bucks and said, well, you just, you know,
yeah, do this. Play with these people here. And then they're all out on the street and all of her friends are kind of dancing around her and they're trying to get her to dance, mm-hmm. but she's not really having it.
Yeah.
She's just sort of like barely kind of, you know, pretending to dance. And it was so awkward. I felt... Ugh. Again, it's like the producers are really just, you know, messing with her. And she has to stand up for herself.
Maybe they're just so mad that she moved to North Carolina. That she moved to North Carolina. Do you know what I mean? Like that she's so, so angry at her that they're just like, we're just going to torture you now.
Yeah, because now we've got to film.
We got to fly all the way out there. I mean, we can accept Salt Lake City. We can accept, you know, Parowan. But this is unacceptable.
It's too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that hopefully that's the end of that.
It is. Because we already see New scenes Orleans at the trip. End. Yeah. We already see her a scene of her back in Greenville. So
yeah. Okay. So then Mary and Amber in Vegas.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say.
I mean, they're having, well, they said wine, but it was champagne. It was something bubbly, Prosecco mm-hmm. or champagne or something. And, you know, these are just like giddy girl, you know, just mm-hmm. drinking and talking. And then, but of course, we have to start talking about polygamy and what happens if you meet someone and you really like them and they're named Cody. And it's like, and Mary's like, well, I don't think I'll want a Cody. And she's also like, I don't think I want a David. I'm like, David's a very common name, Mary. You can't rule
that out.
Yeah. You really got to keep a wide net. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, you cannot start ruling people out based on names. You never know.
Also, she's not even friends with Christine.
Yeah. So I mean,
it's like, it's not like you're going to be together hanging out and you have a David and she has a David. It's like, yeah, whatever.
But Mary says, you know, she chose polygamy because it was because of the belief structure. And then she said, not because of sex or the lack thereof of sex. But she really wants someone who's going to cheer her on and laugh and communicate. And I'm like, mm-hmm. those aren't big things to ask for. Mm-mm. They really aren't. Someone who's going to cheer you on, laugh with you and communicate with you, which is basically what David does for Christine.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, just a supportive partner, you know, which mm-hmm. Cody was not to any of these people. So
definitely not Mary.
No.
All right. And so this is when we go to Greenville and Janelle is...
I thought they lived in Raleigh.
Well, he's going to Raleigh to film... Cody's going to Raleigh, but Greenville is what always pops up on the screen.
Oh, that's where Maddie and Caleb live.
I'm assuming that people probably are like, they're right next to each other or something like that. Or maybe Cody was like, I'll go to Raleigh because the airport's right. there.
Well,
I'm not going to take another drive.
I think that, yeah, that's Raleigh is the closest like big city mm-hmm. to Greenville probably.
Yes.
Yeah. So this I thought was super interesting. Insightful, what Maddie said is, she said, it sounds like he's not in your life anymore. And now he wants to put himself back in your life.
Mm-hmm. That is the narcissistic, right? When the minute you start to get over, especially a narcissistic partner, they will smell it from a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they show up. Mm-hmm. Because they've lost you and they don't like that. They don't want you, but they need you to want them because that helps them perpetuate this belief system that they have. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and do you think that if this wasn't a scene to be filmed on the show, do you think that Janelle would even meet with him? First of all, would he even be going there? Number one. And number two, would she meet with him? Because she really told him. I mean, she was so definitive at mm-hmm. their last dinner at Josephine's.
So, many dinners. I mean, yeah. It's been more than one dinner. Times
to sink in, yeah. But
there was
really,
the time he took her out for her birthday. That? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she kind of went along with that because she wanted to go to that fancy restaurant
yeah.
that, you know, yeah. she'd never been to or whatever. But yeah, when they went to Josephine's, and she basically told him, like, you know, I'm done. And he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, I just.
Yeah, I'm over you.
I'm over you. So, and then Maddie also says, like, as to her relationship with him, she says she's open to forgiveness, reconciliation, and closure. But for Cody to actually be back in her life, it would take a pattern of consistency, which we all know he's not capable of. So
mm-hmm.
that's that.
So do you think this is, And it's interesting that she's talking about, I don't know, do you think that this is about her kids? Like, I'm not going to have you in my children's lives if they mm-hmm. can't count on you.
I think it's partially that, but I also think it's partially that, like, when she moved to North Carolina, I guess he did go there when he was there, I think, when Evie was born. But again, because this, it was a thing to film for the show, mm-hmm. like Cody has this thing where he thinks everyone should come to him.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he doesn't go and visit his children in their space because he wants to be comfortable in his own space and have everyone come to him. And it's just like, okay, well, are you going to pay for, you know, these people to fly out with mm-hmm. little kids? And I mean, that's really
yeah.
hard and unrealistic to have that kind of expectation.
Yeah, it could be that. And also maybe, I just lost my train of thought, but I think that maybe Maddie, because we mm-hmm. saw that, I think Maddie was really annoyed with the inconsistency, the code, mm-hmm. like telling us we're going to get something and it not happening. Right. I think she very much, so that she, as a parent now, is like, I'm not going to expose my kids to someone who's not going to be consistent. And I think mm-hmm. it sounds like once they moved out there and she saw how Cody maybe only showed up, this is what I was going to say, maybe Cody was only calling when there were cameras. Maybe Cody was only showing up when mm-hmm. there was a camera crew. Mm-hmm. And the times that maybe she asked him to show up when there wasn't a camera crew, he was like, no.
Yeah.
Which yeah, I can, sure. I get you where you're coming from. If you're not willing to spend your own money to fly out and see me, then no.
Yeah.
And you and I are not going to, you know, you and I have different values.
Right. Exactly. And she also confirmed that, you know, contrary to what Cody says, they don't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't, yeah. he's not reaching out to her. She has not heard from him.
But Janelle did say that Cody reached out to her on the anniversary of Garrison's death and his birthday to check in on her, which I thought was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, okay, that's good. But again, I think there was some selfishness to it. Yeah. I think he wanted to talk about Garrison to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he wanted to talk to Rob. I think he wanted to talk to Janelle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I think Janelle knows that. Janelle was like, I wasn't going to reach out. But I think Janelle knows. Like, yeah, Cody does things for Cody.
Right.
And it was nice that he called me and I appreciate it. But, she just doesn't believe he was truly doing it out of his own heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. No, he wasn't. He was doing it for himself.
Yeah.
As he does everything.
All right. And then we got to go back to Vegas.
Oh God, these two.
Yeah.
You know, I'm missing Jen. I prefer Jen. I don't know, this Amber. just like,
yeah, I know. I prefer boring. Jen too. I think Jen is so decisive. Like she's not even listening to the producers asking questions. She's like, mm-hmm. I got it. And I think she's coming in and I think Jen does ask the more realistic questions. Not mm-hmm. like, what if his name's Cody? I think it's yeah. much more of, you know, really, because I think she knows Mary very, very well. And Jen doesn't beat around the bush.
No. Nope.
So, Mary was saying, and I feel like I'm a lot like this too, where she's saying, I'm the kind of person who will believe the words coming out of your mouth. And mm-hmm. I'm like this too. Like, if I don't know you and you say something to me, I'm going to believe you foolishly, but I do
mm-hmm.
until I know otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine being in a relationship with someone where you're this very trusting person. Again, we're back to this why maybe she was so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then to walk away and realize, oh, I've been lied to, not only by Cody, she didn't say Robin, but by both mm-hmm. of them.
Right.
You know? And I think that it's very hurtful for her too to see, like, did Robin ever like me?
Yeah.
Did any of these people ever like me? Or was I a means to the end, to an end, to get her, Robin, accepted into this family?
Yeah, because she says that she feels like her whole life was a lie.
Yeah.
You know, if he's saying, you know, I wish, and he was even harsher, I think, with Mary. He mm-hmm. said, I wish I had never married you.
Yeah.
You know, like, meaning if he hadn't married her, none of, like, this family wouldn't exist. It would exist in some other form, Cody, with somebody else or whatever. But yeah, that's got to be hurtful. Like, so your whole life is just based on a lie.
Yeah. And again, I think for her, it was about the trust. I think Christine was about being attracted to, like being wanted. And Janelle maybe got the most out of it, which was, I think she wanted to have a big family and have a career. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to be able to avoid and escape, and she could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah, she talks about having imposter syndrome. Do I have something valuable to offer the world? It's like, yeah, you do. You do, Mary. I believe you do.
Yes.
You're seeing it.
I'm on board with you now, Mary. You are making progress.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So then we have to go back to North Carolina, to Raleigh. And he's there to bury the hatchet.
Now, was he in a convertible?
No, I don't think so.
They showed him driving, and I was thinking, was he in a convertible? Because he always rents convertibles.
Yeah.
And he goes somewhere.
Well, but production was like, listen, we had to spend a lot of money on this ticket. So you're getting the economy car. Right. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. He says his heart isn't soft enough yet to apologize to Christine or Mary. So he's starting with Miss Easy Peasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Janelle. And this is when he says he thought everyone liked him until he got divorced. It's like, really, Cody? You thought everyone liked you? Okay.
Well, and I think by everyone, I think he meant the audience. I don't think he said everyone. I think he meant the audience. I thought I was beloved. I thought I was loved by the audience. I thought I was this kind of, I was people's heroes, or I was this, or I was that. And
where did he get that idea?
I don't know. I don't know where he gets any of his ideas, but you know, the way he responds to things, and people reported on this, that the Robin and Cody really do look at the comments. And which is so dumb. Never look at the comments. Anytime I look at comments, I'm always depressed.
Yeah. I mean, but even before all this divorce stuff, I mean, people have been bagging on him for years because he's always been. Yeah. I don't know where he's looking. He must be looking at these fan pages or something, because.
Or it could have also been like that Robin was always, you're amazing, you're wonderful, you're great.
Everybody loves you.
Everybody loves you. Everyone thinks you're great. And that maybe he was delusional for a long, long time. And then they finally started looking at the comments, or the comments got so bad, or whatever it is. I mean, listen, I don't have numbers in front of me, but my assumption is the show is far more popular now. I mean, season 17, when Christine left, I mean, that's when the people, myself included, like, really started getting into the show and watching the show and talking about the show and all of that. So it is also possible that I was like, oh, I always thought I was popular.
Yeah.
And now everyone's watching the show and I'm really getting all this shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, okay.
Well, but, next time on Sister Wives, we're going back to Atomic Golf.
Yes.
And they just show this scene of Robin saying she feels sorry for people who have to date now. I mean, I guess they have to go through these types of activities. And she's kind of smugly, you know, smiling and smirking like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to go through that. And then you see Christine saying, I'm sure this is in response to Cody wanting to meet with her. She says she doesn't want to see or talk to Cody ever again. Why do I have to do this?
Because you keep taking the check, Christine. If you're going to cash that check, you're going to have to interact with him. So if you don't want the check anymore, I mean, that's the other part of it too, is they're all pointing fingers at each other, but it's like, no, no, no. You all.
Yeah. Well, and I think I saw in one of the coming up scenes that she meets with him with David.
I can believe that.
And I'm sure she said, I'm not going to do this alone.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wonder, you know, how much David is going to pipe in. And
I don't think he will. I think he's just there for support.
Mm.
I don't think that's who David is. David is, I think when Cody's not around, David has opinions. And I think mm-hmm. he sort of like supports Christine and how she feels about Cody. But I get the sense just from what Isabel was saying about how he is as a stepdad, like that he's very much like, I think he really will be like, this is their relationship. And
mm-hmm.
we'll gossip about Cody on the drive home.
Right.
That's for sure. We'll rip him apart.
Yeah.
But
I'm not going to get into it.
But I'm not going to overstep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because again, I think David has, he has more self-awareness and he also has self-awareness with the camera. And I think he also knows that like, no, I'm not going to come across looking like, you know, I'm speaking mm-hmm. for her or a jerk or this, like, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And then we have Cody saying he's on a pilgrimage to apologize to his ex-wives. I mean, come on, you're not
Shut
Jesus.
Up.
You're not Jesus. You're not on a pilgrimage. Calm down.
All right.
So that's that. It.
Yeah. All right. We just keep going with the show and we'll just see what happens. I mean, it feels like week by week, you're like, can we continue with this? Can we? Should we?
Yeah, exactly. How long is this going to last?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you for being here and listening to us. If you enjoy us, if you want even more of our sparkling personalities, you can go check us out over on Patreon. We have two tiers. For the $5 tier, you get all these shows ad-free, plus you get a weekly bonus where we talk a little bit more. We talk more about our private lives and stuff going on with us. And these kinds of stories. We talk about hot topics. And then for our $8 tier, you get all that plus a monthly true crime that's exclusive to Patreon and an Ask Us Anything. And we just released this month's right at the end here.
Last day of the month.
Yeah. Aileen Wuornos. So we talked about, I watched the new Netflix, Brooke didn't, but we talked about her and her life and everything she's been through. And Brooke talks about the, her appeals and what happened once she got on death row and such. Mm-hmm. So go check us out there. There's other ways to support us. You can write us a review. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can share it with a friend, or you can go on social media at Psych Legal Pop at all the places and follow us. And we're also on YouTube. So subscribe to our channel. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thanks.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.
This message comes from Jackson. Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax days year-round. Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit Jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
Hi, this is Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. Have you ever put on a bra that makes you feel like a goddess? Prepare to be obsessed with the Dream Angels Wicked Bra from Victoria's Secret, the iconic brand behind the world's most comfortable bras. And I only wear the most comfortable bras. The bestseller features an innovative sling for perfect lift without padding. And the fit is chef's kiss. Awaken your inner goddess with new colors and super femme lace embroidery. Find out why this bra has thousands of five-star reviews and counting. Shop it in stores and online at victoriasecret.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Chicago, 2011. A cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.